the other day. Actually, a few weeks ago, I was in one of our centers. And I had to do some work there for a few hours. And I was observing the movement of one of the souls in the center. Not specifically, but I just noticed that she was working on an email on the computer, and somebody called asking for some information. So she went somewhere else to get the information. And in between, she passed by the kitchen and noticed that there were no potatoes. So she remembered that she had to do the shopping. So she went out, came back from the shop, and an electrician came because there was some electrical problem in the center. So she stopped the cooking, looked after the electrician. Then she remembered that she had to give the information to the person that called 2 hours before. And about 3 hours later, I think, after doing another 20 different tasks, she remembered she had to go back and finish her email. Now, I don't know if that describes any one of you, but what seemed to be missing, in fact, we had a talk later on about focus, about what's important. And I know that our lives these days are lived in a very chaotic world where many things happen that are not expected. They were not in our plans or in our agenda for the day. But even so, we have to be very clear about what's important. Because our time is very valuable. And does anyone ever have a feeling of being lost in a maze of different tasks? Do you ever have that feeling? Yeah? How many people? Okay, lots. So how do you stay on course? Because, I mean, I could have been observing myself, not the other person. I could have been observing anybody. You start one thing, you don't finish it because something else happens, and you start that and you don't finish it because a third thing happens, and you start that and a fourth thing happens, and so you go through the day and you've left about 50 things, you know, in the air, and there's a feeling of not actually having completed much. How do you stay on course? How do you relate that to, for example, the fact that Baba says that Jiva Mukti is in a second, or our aim object is to become from an ordinary man Narayan, or from an ordinary woman into Lakshmi? I mean, it does feel sometimes that you have 10 arms, but how do we relate to what Baba's saying if our day is not along the same lines or in the same energy? Baba's making us do things. Baba's giving us so much. Baba's giving us such a huge inheritance. So we come out of the Murli full of that intoxication and the day starts. Or rather, our real life begins. We go to work, some of us, or we look after the household duties. Maybe we stay in the center and do things. But if we lose the focus of what it's all about, it's very easy to then get lost in the maze of activities. And of course, you're running around the whole day and not advancing very much. So when it's a question of the aim and object of Brahmin life, which is the topic that was chosen, how do we stay on course? I remember once somebody said that it's better to have a compass here instead of a watch, because a watch will tell you the time, but a compass will tell you where you're going. So if you were stopped in the middle of running around and somebody asks you, where are you going with so much rushing? You'd probably just be going from this point to that point. You're going from the kitchen to the office. You're not going from Kali Yuga to Satyug, right? You're just going from one place to the other, from one task to the other. But that feeling of actually going towards an ultimate aim, moving towards our future, moving towards the golden age, may not be there. Except in certain moments when you stop and you remember, wait a minute. Why am I rushing around so much? Do I really have to do this? Is it possible to get someone else to do it? Just recently, and we do it periodically in our centers, we just check the structure of the center, especially the key tasks, the key roles. Who's doing what? Of course, if you've got one person responsible for 20 tasks and you've got 30 people wanting to help, but none of them are responsible for anything, then you've got a person who probably goes by that description I gave before. Start an email, go to the kitchen, go here, call somebody, go to the shop, going here and there, going here and there, but not going anywhere. So we have to balance, I think, the fact that Baba gives so much. And he does say jiva mukti in a second. You are free in a second, at least technically. Theoretically, we are free in a second. If we can keep that thought and keep that stage, we are free. And it takes 1 second to do it. But what I've found, and even in my own experience, that if I don't have a specific aim, it doesn't work. Many of us are very vague about our aims. For example, if someone said to you, I'm going north, that's a name, right? Very vague. But where? Where north? Which place? When? How are you going to get there? When you've got those things clear, the aim is much more real. So if you have an aim, let's say, I'll be happy. It's like, I'm going north. How? In what sort of situation? How are you going to get more happy than you are today? How are you going to measure your happiness that you know that you've progressed so much? today I had this much and today I have this much. Then the next day I have this much. There's a feeling of progress. But unless you put something specific into our aims and object as Brahmins, we'll be just going from the kitchen to the office. And not from maybe the kitchen to the office to the bedroom, because there was too much running around and we had to go for a rest. Right? Kitchen to office to street, to work, to bus, to kitchen to office, to bus to street, to work, to sleep. Jumping from one thing to the other and going around in circles. But Baba says we have an aim and object, right? I want to be happy. How happy? When happy? Who happy? In which situation happy? So aim and object is something that you have to work on. It's not just a given thing. Baba's given us an aim and object and we sit there admiring it. Wow, what a great aim and object. In fact, if somebody asks us, you know, what are you doing? I want to become better. But how better? In what better? You have to be more specific. I remember when I came into Gyan, like many of us, we do a lot of disservice with our relatives, right? Did anyone do that when they first came into Gyan? Yeah? You say crazy things. You don't understand why people don't understand. It's so clear, isn't it? And I came into Gyan. In fact, I came into Gyan in London in the very early days. There was just a few people in the centre there in London. A very small, tiny place. It's absolutely amazing to think how far it's progressed since then. But I went back to Australia and I got a centre going in Sydney. And there weren't any other BKs around at that time. There had been, but they'd gone. And I remember I got my parents and my brothers and sisters together at a meeting and I declared to all of them, you know, I'm making efforts to become a deity. And my father looked at me, come on. I mean, we can say the words, can't we? We can say the words about what we're becoming. But how much does my real life reflect that? You see, if you have an aim, and it's a specific one, for example, let's take the different areas of our life. Our karmic accounts, our relationships, family, for example. Let's say I have, you know, 5 or 6 quite important accounts with my family members that require time from me, require energy, require even money. It requires something from me because there's an account there. There's a tie. There's a bondage. That even if I feel that I'd like to do whatever I'd like to do, I can't because Johnny is there and Tom is there and Mary is there. I can't do it because of those accounts. So let's say I make an aim that within 6 months all of those accounts will be much more cooperative than today. They will cooperate with me instead of block me. Okay, you have a aim that within 6 months you should feel more free in those accounts. And don't just wait for them to finish. You see? Baba even says we use the word drama in the wrong way. We can't use drama for the future. You know that idea that time will heal everything. With time things will work out. Everything will be alright tomorrow. What about today? Have you ever thought like that? It's a bit difficult. Let time heal the wound. I don't want to face that now. Time will sort it out. Drama will be beneficial. That's okay, but it's false. It's a false hope. Things change when you do something. That's what the law of karma is, isn't it? We see people, for example, they save money, hoping that in the future they'll have stability, a financial stability. But karma says that you don't gain a future of stability by saving. You gain a future by using, and using properly what you have. So you don't gain a future by not using, or by not doing, or by waiting. And that's why hope is a sort of a false happiness. It's an empty happiness. Very different from when what you hope actually happens. That's the real happiness. So how many things are we hoping to happen? And how many things are we making happen? And to make something happen, you have to do some work. And that's a subtle effort. Okay, let's go back to that example that I gave. I've got 4 or 5 fairly strong karmic accounts with, in my intimate circle, maybe relatives or work colleagues. I've got a boss that, you know, he's a real dragon. You know, very difficult to get on with, but because I need the money, I have to work. But my, you know, this guy really gives me a hard time. Anyone have a hard boss here? Yeah? Okay. It's a karmic account, huh? We could have a soft boss as well, right? So what's the sort of effort that I need in order to make a hard boss a soft boss? In order to make a person who's clinging on to me because of attachment, my side of the attachment I figured out, but the other person is still very attached to me. So what sort of effort do I need to do to make people not be attached to me anymore? And that requires, first of all, an aim. And a specific aim, and then of course a method to put that aim into practice and to make the aim happen. So I need to, for example, work on good wishes. I need to do special meditation, perhaps. I need to send drishti to my boss. Send light to that soul. I need to be attentive that every time I interact with him, I keep my vision elevated and I don't think about how hard he is or how tough he is. So once I have the aim, then I can start working on the method. But if I just accept it, you know, very fatalistically, you know, well, this is my lot. You know, everyone's got something to work out. And therefore we passively go through our things. And we can change them all. Every single karmic account that weighs us down, we can change it. And that's the proof of self-transformation, isn't it? So what sort of a story are we selling to ourselves or to others when we say that we're practicing Raja Yoga, which is the yoga of self-sovereignty, and we're practicing, we have God, and God is giving us everything that we need to solve everything that we need to solve. He's everything we have. The power we have, the knowledge we have, the understanding we have. Yet in practice, there I am, with my 3 or 4 fairly heavy karmic accounts, maybe health, maybe money, and maybe relationship, and maybe work. They're the 4 ways that we can suffer. Work can be service in the center even. Baba says, no, that if you're doing service and it's too heavy for you, it's not service. It's something else. Anyone here have a karmic account with another Brahmin? One or two? The golden chains, right? Baba talks about the things that have appeared after Baba. And sometimes because of being in the same service at the same place and having different opinions. But every single scene I can change. Every single thing that weighs on me I can make light. But I need to, first of all, identify it. And secondly, I need to have an aim. And thirdly, I need to have a method. Okay? I'm going to be okay. That's not a name. Things will work out. It's not a name. So we lose a lot of time by not being active enough to change the things that we need to change. We let it go and it gets worse. Even in our relationship with ourselves, there are things that we need to address. And probably many of you know that parallel to this, in the other room, in fact I've just come from there, we're doing an SML course, which is like how to focus your life. That would be the proper name for it. It's and there's a group of souls there. And in fact, exactly what we're dealing with. So it's an interesting coincidence that the topic here was the aim and object of Brahmin life. And there's a lot of things that we can learn. A lot. First of all, first point I think, don't try to be someone that you're not. Don't pick a model for your life. Honestly be yourself. That's good enough for Baba. It should be good enough for the world, right? So don't model yourself on someone else. Even if you do it subtly. Of course, what are the ways that you can check if you're modeling? You'll be comparing, right? There'll be jealousy perhaps. Because you're trying to calculate your worth against the worth of somebody else. But everyone's worth is individual. There's no one better than anyone else. Or worse. Each one is each one. So if I understand that, I have gone completely out of comparing or jostling. You know what jostling is? When you put rocks in a machine to make them smooth. They rub against each other. So I'm alone in this drama, in a sense, in terms of the effort that I have to make. And my worth is unique and not to be compared with anyone else. So if I have that clear, first of all, I have to discover what is valuable in myself, not compared to anyone else, but compared to Baba, let's say. What is the inheritance that Baba has put in me that I have to wake up again? That's the big question. Another thing that can happen You know, have you ever heard somebody or have you ever said yourself, what is my role in service? Have you ever thought something along those lines? What do I have to do here? There's so many people already helping. What is my role? And the best way to get around that one is to see what is needed and do what's in front of you. Don't put it off. Brian the other day was telling a story about there was one brother in Australia. He actually was an inspiration to everybody. You know, perfectly straight back. You know, his whites were perfectly pressed. His badge was exactly in the right position, you know. Amrit Vela, he was there with his back straight, straight up, right in front of Bubba's picture, sitting there every day. Extremely well disciplined. Very nice, very sweet, and suddenly something happens after several years. And Brian was visiting Australia. He told this story the other day in the session. It struck me as very interesting. He said that he was with this brother walking around Sydney Harbour, which is there are beautiful walks around. And they came across a boat graveyard, a cemetery of boats, you know, yachts, those ones that go out into the ocean with the sails, the sailboats cemetery. And there were these beautiful big boats, old, with torn sails and full of the barnacles, you know, those mollusks that stick to the bottom of the boat. Absolutely useless. But of course, some of the boats, if you wanted, you could clean them off and put new sails and get them out sailing again. And this brother said, yeah, you know, I'm like one of these boats. I used to be sailing the high waters. And now I'm in the boat cemetery. Because he stopped. He stopped his potential. And of course, many of us haven't even started it, really. What is our true potential in service? What can we really do for Baba? Do you feel that you can do more than you are doing? Huh? Yeah? You're doing as much as you can do. Who thinks that they're doing as much as they can do? Okay, fine. Congratulations. So, the majority have something to work on, right? So, what are you going to do? Just going to leave it? Pardon? Going home to work on it. She'll work on it here, right? Okay. Okay. We know that, like, the real effort that Baba wants us to do is to work in peace, to relate with others with love and keep our stage elevated no matter what happens. That's the effort that we need to do. And it's something that we have to remind ourselves every time. It doesn't matter what happens. I live in São Paulo. Actually, when I'm there, I live there. Which isn't very often. Maybe 2 months in a year I spend in the place where my clothes are. Let's say. Rest of the time I'm going here and there. Kitchen to office to... I'm visiting the different centers actually. But I have a very strong sense of being very calm inside, even while jumping here and there. And the other day, Ramesh Bhai came up with an idea that we should do a sort of a campaign to get people to sign that they will give up this and they will give up that and they will give up this. And I told him, look, this is pretty appropriate for India, but it doesn't really work outside of India, as we saw with that peace manifesto, right? And one of the things that he'd put on the form, I promise to give up road rage. That means anger in the traffic. And São Paulo has 22 million people, and traffic is terrible. So the possibility of getting angry in the traffic is very great. And so one day, especially when it rains, so one day I was going from one part of the town back to the center, and normally it would take 20 minutes, but there was such a huge rain, and it flooded the streets, and it took me 2 hours, right? And the sort of feeling in the traffic, you know, people are very irritated, right? So they start to blow their horn and they start to shout at each other if somebody cuts across, and then someone tries to get advantage of the others, he goes in front, everyone starts to get angry. So I went through 2 hours of that sort of vibration. And I finally get back to the center, and what do you know? Somebody's parked in the garage, the entrance to the center. Somebody has parked there. So it's a good test, no? Because almost, I thought, right, where is this guy who's parked in front of our center, who's stopping me from getting into the garage? But then, as I was almost thinking this thought, I looked up at the sign, and it said, "Learn to meditate. Be peaceful." So I saved by the sign. And it was interesting because then I went across, because there's a shop across the road from the center. And generally it's someone who stopped there to buy something. So I went into the shop, and there is our friend who's blocking the garage. So I went up to him, and I was very kind and generous, actually. I said, "Sir, would you mind, I'm trying to get into the meditation center across the road, and your car's in the driveway." And he said, "Okay, sure, no problems." Then we came across, it had already stopped raining. We came across the road, and then he was looking at the sign also. "Oh, meditate, peace. Is that what you do here?" And he was very impressed, because anyone else would shout at him. In fact, if you stop in somebody's driveway, you almost expect that if the owner comes, you will be shouted at, right? But in this case, no. And I think that guy actually ended up doing the course. But the thing is that if you have an inner stage where you know where you're at and where you know what you're doing, you can actually control all of the situations that come up in front of you. You don't need to suddenly go rushing off to buy potatoes. You don't need to go rushing off to do this or rushing off to do that. Everything will happen in its own time. Because the sense, and this is when Baba says, you become the masters, we should have a feeling of mastery already. It's not something in the future I will become. I should already have an experience of mastery. in situations. Things organize themselves around me because I have a good stage. It's not I have to organize myself around things and then somehow or the other work on my stage. No, I work on my stage. Three things that I said. Keep yourself light and above. Remain happy and be loveful in your interactions with people. You will remain in control, definitely. So the sort of effort that we need, you know, in order to change the situations that are around us. First of all, we identify them. Then we work on ourselves. What is it that I have to do to be able to make that thing happen? How far do I go? One of the key elements of the SML course, actually there are two key elements. And because it's based on Gyan, it should be like that actually. The first element, of course, is learn to be the detached observer. Even, you know, when you've got a difficulty with somebody else, a difficulty with someone else, and if every single person was nice and good and kind to us, we wouldn't have any tests, right? So how many personal testers do you have? How many people, let's say, you've got two or three or four people who are your favorite testers? Do you have? Does anyone not have any testers at all? Okay. So you've got one or two or three favorite people who come up to test you. Is that right? Okay. How does the horizon look with those people around you? If you look into, let's say, 6 months from now, do you see change or do you see a continuation of the same thing 6 months from now? Do you hope that there's change or are you going to make the change happen? Make it happen. So first of all, you have to have focus. Okay? Be the detached observer. See what's there. Be detached from your role. Be detached from the other person's role. Go sit with Baba. Like if somebody is affecting your meditation, somebody's, you're sitting there meditating and that personal tester comes up in your meditation, right? What do you do? I send good wishes. Does it work? You have to involve Baba in the sending of the good wishes. So you bring Baba together with you, you're sitting there side by side, and both of you, you're asking Baba actually, how should I see this soul, really? You know? These days people have personal trainers, right? We have personal testers. And it's very good. More tests, the better. Right? Is that right? There are three things, and I can share you a little bit of the essence of the SML course actually. When we have focus, it means we know where we're going. They say that when Alice was lost in Wonderland, she met with the cat. Right? You know that story, Alice in Wonderland? Yeah? And she asked the cat, "Please, Mr. Cat, show me the way." And the cat asked, "Where do you want to go?" And she said, "I don't know." And so the cat said, "Okay, any way will do. So if you don't know where you want to go, any way will do. But it's very good to have something in front of you that inspires you on." And I would suggest that it's not exactly Vishnu. Even though you may understand the symbology there. Something in front of you that you can see should pull you forward. Normally what I am is one thing. What I'm doing is another thing. What I have as a result is a third thing. And we spend our life trying to organize these three verbs. To be, to do, and to have. Of course, some people are so much into having, they're not human beings anymore even. They're human havings. And then you've got those people who are so much into action. So much action oriented. You can't sit still for 1 second. They always have to be doing something. And they do and do and do and do until they become so tired they have to collapse and sleep. And then they wake up the next day. Actually, during the night, they're also dreaming, doing. And they wake up the next day and they're at it again. Do you know anyone like that? The human doings, not the human beings. Right? So I have to organize basically these three verbs. What I am internally. What I have around me. As a result, what I do to create those results. Three things. But I have to have something in front of me that pulls me forward. It could be even Baba's drishti. As long as I identify something in that drishti that is very specific, what does Baba see in me? That when I look at Baba, I also see that in me. And what do I want to achieve in the next 6 months, let's say? That has to be there some way or the other. It won't just happen. Don't just let it happen. We're used to letting things happen. Look at the mess we made of the world. We have to make our future different. With Baba's help, but with our effort and help. Then I can change the way I'm going. I can change the things around me. I can change the way people are with me. They will tend to start to cooperate rather than be against or indifferent. A good test, a good indicator for yourself, you can ask, do people become happy when you arrive? Or when you leave. Or worse, are they just indifferent? Doesn't make any difference at all whether you're there or not. You know, we create an atmosphere in which people feel great and feel good. With our state of consciousness. And if I'm not producing that, they won't feel anything. So are people happier when you arrive or when you leave? Or are they indifferent? Good question, huh? What should it be? If I spend my time thinking about my own, existence and what I'm going to do and how I'm going to be and what's going to happen and the work is this and the service is that, and I'm so inside my own head, that I don't even realize that others exist? How do I engage with others? Because if I have a good spiritual stage, it should be like the sun, as Baba says, you know. Before the sun comes, you can already see its light. And after the sun leaves, you still see its light for some time, right? So is my coming and going like the sun? Or is it some sort of a black hole of my own self preoccupation, you know? So how do I engage others? Just by my vibration I make them feel light and happy and easy? Or because I'm very heavy and a powerful soul? Brahmins are powerful souls, huh? So if they have a negative thought, it's a powerful negative thought, right? It's not just an ordinary negative thought. A Brahmin who puts his energy behind a negative thought has a great impact. So imagine that if everyone with whom you engage, because you're light and happy inside and you're transmitting that, you come into contact with them, how will they feel? They'll feel great. Wow, you've arrived. We've been waiting for you. Thank God for your existence. We are happy that you are here. Okay? So you see the sort of things that are possible and you focus on them, right? What are the things that you need to change in the next 6 months? What are the areas that you need most to work on? And you can take up different areas of your life. It's not just the spiritual side of things. You do need to do things to change the way you work. You do need to do things to change the way you are with your family. You need to do things to change your finances. Or maybe you have to work on your health, because as Baba says, if the health is not there, what's the use of the wealth? So what is it that you have to be concentrating on over the next 6 months, say, to really make a difference in your life? What are the areas that you need to give some attention to? What are they? That's called focus. I'm going to focus myself on, first of all, of course, I have to focus myself on something within my stage, because that's the basis of everything. But what do I want to achieve in terms of my stage over the next 6 months? Is it freedom that I want? Is it a total carefree stage? Do I need to work on my lovefulness? Do I need to work on my happiness? What is it that I need to work on? And let me focus on that for a while. Let me meditate specifically on those things. Let me find those points in the mulis that will help me. Let me put myself on the operating table for Baba to do his stuff. So that those particular aspects that I want to my stage to have will come up. But I need to focus on it. You know, I need to have that specific aim. What about my family? What do I have to do to make things better? Is there anything I can do really? Do I need to give more attention? Do I need to give less attention perhaps? Do I need to change my attitude? Do I need to develop good wishes? And for whom do I need to develop good wishes? So create these different focus points so that you can start to get, again, because you're doing that, because you have the aim, you start to look for information from other BKs even. You can case studies of success of other Brahmins who've got through, right? Or you can, you know, the Mooli is a great resource for anything that we want to do. But first of all, we need to want to do it. Yeah? So, I need to know where to focus my energies, my attention, even my meditations, so that those things start to work themselves out. Secondly, I need to have the will to do it. Not just focus, I need will. I need to have the enthusiasm. And so if the focus is interesting, the enthusiasm is already there. If the focus isn't so interesting, it'll be difficult to fool yourself about being enthusiastic. You know? I'm happy here in Matabai. What about next week when I'm in the middle of my work and family situation? Will I sink back a little bit, or will I keep this energy from here itself? And it really depends on my attitude, how I see those things. Baba tells us that our work and our family are just service places, right? They're just places where we have to serve and people that we have to serve. It's not different from when Baba says the religion of Brahmins is service. So service includes everyone with whom we have something to do. And this energy that is in the soul has to come out in some way. It's no use, for example, thinking that you have a good relationship with Baba, but you have a difficult relationship with someone else. And Baba won't accept that, you know. Baba, you're okay, but this person can be a Brahmin or someone who's in your family. Can't handle. No way. And Baba will make it clear to the soul that it's not possible to have a good relationship with him and a bad relationship with someone else. Part of the deal to come close to God is to come close to everyone else too. So, I need to have this enthusiasm to achieve those goals. But I also need to wake up the power, the ability to do it. You know, people would like to give up chocolates, but the doctor says you can't eat chocolate anymore. But the problem is they love chocolates. And so what's going to happen? There's a conflict inside. There's a conflict between wanting and knowing. I want something, but I know I shouldn't want. I know something that I don't want to know. So I want with my heart something that's very special, and I'm able to do it because of Baba's help. Subtle regions. I'd like to share a little bit about the context of aim and object. The overall context is, and it always will be, to become like Vishnu. Baba says, remember me and remember the inheritance. Manmanabhav and Madhyajibhav. Remember the one in the middle. When I came into Gyan, they used to make this question a lot with every group of the small groups of double foreigners that were coming through. Who wants to become Lakshmi and Narayan? And everyone immediately put their hand up in the air like that. Now, you make that question these days. Who wants to become Lakshmi Narayan here? Just a few. Why is that? Huh? Maybe we've lost the ability to understand what it means. But it's something in the present. You know, all of those symbols that Vishnu has, it's for the present. You see, these two hands are like that, right? Giving, but how to give? What does that mean? Huh? I give, but in a detached way. I'm just the instrument. I'm not doing it. Okay? Giving, but. So you can be Vishnu in every interaction, if you want to. Don't expect any results. Just give. I'm just an instrument, you know. Take it, but it's not mine to give. Yeah? Just understand the context, right? And speak sweetly, act in a detached manner, and keep your own stage secure. So you can be Vishnu now, a little bit of Vishnu. So the aim and object is not something in the distant future, but it's something to bring into the present also. If that's clear, then, you know, you are free. This is all. When the two hands that are up is free, right? And our only task here is to give. No other. I'm not here to take anything. I'm not here to attract people. This thing of people being attached to us, yet we're not attached to them. It could be that, you know, on a conscious level, you feel that you're detached, but if someone's attached to you, it's because somehow or the other you're still feeding it. You're still feeding that on a subtle level. You like for people to be attached to you, perhaps. It gives you a sense of importance. But if you want to be Vishnu, okay, you just give, but not with the expectation of wanting something from them. If you give and want at the same time, you'll create an attachment. So our aim and object is Vishnu, right? But I have to do something now. And I have to create a sense of purpose. What am I doing here? You know, who feels that they have a clear sense of purpose here? Huh? Clear sense of purpose means, what am I doing here? Why am I here? No, why I'm in this Brahmin birth? What's my thing? You feel? Yeah? Who feels? Who am I? What am I supposed to be doing? Very good. Congratulations. Because that's like our north keeps me on course. When I came to this knowledge. That he asked the other day, even if anyone had come to the Murali before they did the course. I came, first contact with the Brahma Kumaris was the Murali. And I never did the course. I just started to come to the Murlis. And I liked it. I liked the atmosphere. And something intrigued me about the whole thing. But it seemed so natural for me. And this was in the early days in London. There were, you know, very few people. I remember Daddy Jenki used to read the Murali, and Sister Jenti would translate it by writing. There were so few of us, we would just watch her translation as she wrote it over her shoulder. There's three or four of us sitting behind her watching the translation. And if you look at Daddy Jenki and the vision that she had since those early days, I mean, the first time she looked at me, the first time she looked at me, she said, "You're going to do Baba's service in the whole world." And at that stage, I didn't even know who Baba was, you know. I said, okay. That's fine. But the very first drishti that that I received from Daddy came with those words. And Brian the other day was remembering too. How many of you were in London in those days where they had to have the classes in Dudden Hill Community Hall? Not many. Very few. Because now you go to London, you see this incredible structure and incredible buildings and marvelous service and lots of people helping. And then you go down to Oxford and you see this beautiful castle and the river and the park. And you go back to those days when they were just, you know, they had to use a community hall because in the house where Daddy stayed, the neighbors complained. And so they couldn't continue to have activities in that house because it wasn't also legal to have activities in a residential place. And so they had to find a community hall. And it was like, I think, the Gujarati Community Hall in Dudden Hill, which is like a suburb near Global Corporation House. And it was a horrible place. Because the night before, there were people there playing cards, drinking beer, smoking cigarettes. So an army had to go there in the morning, clean it up, and put thousands of incense sticks around to get rid of the smell of the cigarette smoke. And, you know, cover the filthy carpet with white sheets so that people could sit down. And they used that place for years, literally years. And there's Daddy thinking that, no, things are going to change, you know. And she kept that vision when they started Global Corporation House. They didn't even have the money to pay the architect. And so, when you think of what's been achieved by keeping to the course and being relentless with the effort and making sure that, you know, every action is just as an instrument. Nothing to do with me. It's Baba who's doing things through me. You know, that's Vishnu, right? Then you see the wonders that are created in that consciousness. So if that can happen with a very small group of souls in a tiny little corner of London, and now you see how much service is spread out from there. And practically most of the service in the West started from London. Of course, everything beforehand started here. But from that tiny little group of souls, and you see so many things happening, it's fantastic to see. And if you're on board with Baba, then you don't have any problems with others. People will cooperate. Your family will cooperate. Your health will cooperate. Your finances will cooperate. But you have to keep the aim. You know, this is where I have to go, and this is how I'm going to get there. Don't just wait for change. The wise one, I think in every language there's some expression, isn't there, around about that. The wise one never waits for change, but just makes it happen. Yeah? Anyway, this is a situation that's very strange for me to be sitting up on a stage and talking to a bunch of people. I much prefer to be down there talking with you. So if you've got any questions or any comments, please. If we could have another microphone, if there's anyone around. Can we have another microphone down here so that if anyone wants to come to the front and talk or to ask anything, say anything, maybe tell a story of the sort of change that they were wanting and they made happen with Baba's help. And let's listen to some. Here's someone. Oh, okay, great, very fine.
I was just wondering what you meant to say when you were talking about Vishnu, and you were giving two types of movements, this one and this one.
Yeah.
Could you explain?
Well, you see,
Vishnu, more in detail, because I didn't.
Vishnu's got four arms, right? Two of the arms are up in the air, right? And the other two are down like that. Yeah. So even without the symbols, if you take the hands without the symbols, then you get the balance. That is a balance, actually. You got two hands up in the air, holding different things, and you got two hands down. So I was looking at it, Vishnu without the symbols. Just, okay, two in the air means free, detached, okay. And these two down, giving. And then you look at the symbols. It's also, it shows you how you should be, right? That you always keep the context. You never forget that it's a drama. That things are always going around. Because if you lose the first symbol, you lose the other three automatically. Yeah? So always remember the context. This is a drama. Everyone is having his or her own role. I don't need to get very serious about what others are doing, but I need to be very serious about what I'm doing. People do or not do, that's not my problem. I have to look at how I'm doing the things. But if I forget the context, I will also forget what I'm supposed to be doing as a Brahmin, because I'm in the confluence age now, not in Kali Yuga. If I lose the context, I'm back in Kali Yuga. I leave the confluence age. With that I can, you know, I will speak better. I mean, we create, the main instrument of relationship is the mouth, right? It's through words. Can you have a relationship with someone if you don't say anything to them? Very difficult. I mean, there are cases of people who are dumb, but they communicate in some way. So it's not just verbal communication, but the way we the way we communicate with others and what we communicate to them. It has to be appropriate. according to the circumstances, right? The cycle gives me the circumstances and the context, and therefore what I'm going to say is appropriate according to the moment. If I forget this, I forget the cycle, I will be inappropriate probably. And then the two hands that are down, one has a flower, the lotus flower, which is purity, right? Shows me how to act. And the mace, that's what it's called, right? Mace? Sometimes I forget my English. The only time I speak English is when I come to Madhavan, by the way. Which represents the power that we have over ourselves, our own personal authority. But if you lose the first one, you lose them all. And so here we are. Before the symbols even, before we put symbols in Vishnu's hands, look at their position. Detached giving. Yeah? Anyone else?
You mentioned something about like not to have a role model, but still be inspired, keep something in front. I wanted to know that, how do I bridge that gap? Normally, I mean, I tend to think of a person, then only I'm motivated. I mean, something has to be there in front of an image, which is basically nothing like a role model. And then you said that you should have something in front and you should be inspired. That's one question that I have. And secondly, you know, for me, jnana becomes quite abstract, and the things which are concrete do make a lot of sense. So how do I bring that abstracts into something more concrete? Because sometimes you lose your thoughts are pretty abstract, and to make them concrete, I mean, something that you can see, you lose sort of thing. You become, what is the right word, is that? It sort of, yeah. You know, it goes out.
Fritters away,
yeah. So you can't hold it, unfortunately.
Okay.
And that's two questions.
First one is about role model. I mean, all of us are inspired by the daddies and Brahma Baba and Mama. They're examples. But we can't be a Daddy Janki or a Brahma Baba. Even outside of Gyan, you know. We can't be a Mother Teresa or a Mahatma Gandhi. So their virtues inspire us. We can be inspired by other people's virtues, but we can't become those people. So what happens is I have to discover what my own specialities are. Where I'm coming from. What do I have to offer? What is my special contribution to the world? If everything I've done until now has been a preparation for what I'm going to do in the next 6 months, what is it that I have to contribute? What do I contribute? So if you look at your own specialities and your own contribution and work on that, you will become yourself, your true self. In fact, being a Brahmin is being yourself, but your true self, you know. Not someone else. So we can use examples of virtues and specialities and contributions of others. But I also have to, in the light of those virtues, look at my own and say, okay, maybe my speciality is related to keeping people happy. Or maybe my speciality is related to keeping people calm. Or maybe my speciality is related to helping achieve clarity in the complexity. So we come into this big dance of sanskars, which is service. And that's where we are, what we're supposed to be. Service is where we become what we're supposed to be. That's why it's impossible. And I'm talking about 30 years of jnana almost, in my case. If you look at, if I look at all of the people who thought that they could continue without actually becoming involved in some sort of service, I don't see any survivors. No survivors. It's not possible, because service is absolutely essential for you to become what you are. You can't just do it by thinking. You do it by doing, and your doing becomes a service. Yeah? Concrete examples, you know, you have to change all of this spiritual guidance that Baba gives us into your own life, okay? In my own family, what am I going to do? And if you want to be more concrete, what am I going to do tomorrow? You know, even today. What am I going to do in the next 2 weeks to put into practice everything that I've learned here in Mattaban, in my family, in my work, with my health, physical health, and so on? What am I going to do in the next 2 weeks? I don't know if any one of you have even thought that. You're here in that sort of, you know, sort of state of bliss. It's very interesting the other day. I don't know who was telling it, but someone was saying that the bliss doesn't have an opposite. Happiness has an opposite. Unhappiness. Peace has an opposite, which is peacelessness. But bliss is so beyond that it doesn't have even an opposite here. So here we are in a state of bliss, and there's no parallel to this state of bliss in the world out there, but I need to take it there. And I need to face those 3 or 4 difficult people that are part of my life and continue blissful. What am I going to do that? Or am I just going to wait? You know, maybe, well, this time they will understand me. Don't wait for people to understand you. Don't wait for people to recognize you. Because they won't. Recognize yourself is what Baba says. Understand yourself. And as you understand yourself, as you accept yourself, as you are feeling okay with yourself, people will start to feel okay with you. If you're worried about yourself and someone else thinks about you, they will pick up that worry vibration and they will worry about you too. So if you're okay internally, someone else thinks of you at that time, they will start to feel okay about you. The fact that we worry about others keeps them attached to us. Because when they think of us, they pick up that feeling that Mum needs me still, right? Or my wife still needs me, or something like that, because we haven't worked it out enough. If I'm free internally, no one else can even grab onto me from outside. There's nothing, there's no hook for them to hook onto. Because I'm free, I'm smooth. They may even try, but there won't be anything there. Now, if I'm... sometimes I think that our state is like a... You know what is Velcro? You know? Anyone got any Velcro on their shoes here they can make a noise with? Yeah. You hear that? Do it again. Okay, that's Velcro. And you put Velcro in contact with some fabric, right? So sometimes we're walking pieces of Velcro, right? Because we want something to grab onto us. But if I'm free internally and someone else thinks about me, there's nothing to stick onto. Anything else? In Espanol, por favor. This last part that we were talking about, Vishnu, really made him happy. And he remembered, he didn't actually ask a question, he just said that he remembered something that he read recently, to move away from, not those that do things bad to you, but the ones that think badly about you. And in a way, we have to not be affected by either one, right? If people have bad thoughts or not bad thoughts, it's not under our control. What's important is that we don't have the bad thoughts about them. And when they're thinking about us, and we're thinking about ourselves, that matches up. It's like in yoga, and that's how yoga works, right? Baba's in a good stage, and we think about Baba, what happens? We feel great. So if someone else thinking about us and we're in a good stage, they'll feel good thinking about us. People tend to build on their bad thoughts because we're also thinking badly about ourselves. So we can clean up the atmosphere very much if we have really good thoughts about ourselves. Okay? Anything else? Happy? Okay, what are you going to do over the next 2 weeks? What do I have to do? I'm going to be happy. No. I'm going to be happy, but I'm also going to sort out this, and I'm going to sort out that. This is the method that I'm going to use. And I'm going to have good wishes for that one, and I'm going to do this to make it more detailed, more specific, your vision of the future, and not sort of vague. No. Let's eliminate vagueness. Okay. Om Shanti.